Mimas wailed. Before he could recover his wits, Piper grabbed Annabeth's arm, and together they plunged into the second doorway.
"I will bring down this chamber," the giant thundered. "The Earth Mother shall deliver me, but you shall be crushed."
The floor shook. The sound of breaking stone echoed all around them.
"Piper, stop," Annabeth begged. How are you dealing with this? The fear, the anger.
"Don't try to control it. That's what the temple is about. You have to accept the fear, adapt to it, ride it like the rapids on a river."
"How do you know that?"
"I don't know it. I just feel it."
Somewhere nearby, a wall crumbled with a sound like an artillery blast.
"You cut the rope," Annabeth said. "We're going to die down here."
Piper cupped her friend's face. She pulled Annabeth forward until their foreheads touched. Through her fingertips, she could feel Annabeth's rapid pulse.
"Fear can't be reasoned with. Neither can hate. They're like love. They're almost identical emotions. That's why Ares and Aphrodite like each other. They're twin sons. Fear and panic were spawned from both war and love."
"But I don't... This doesn't make sense."
"No," Piper agreed. "Stop thinking about it. Just feel."
"I hate that."
"I know. You can't plan for feelings. Like with Percy and your future. You can't control every contingency. You have to accept that. Let it scare you. Trust that it'll be okay anyway."
Annabeth shook her head.
"I don't know if I can."
"Then for right now, concentrate on revenge for Damison. Revenge for Bob."
A moment of silence.
"I'm good now."
"Great, because I need your help. We're going to run out there together."
"Then what?"
"I have no idea."
"Gods, I hate it when you lead."
Piper laughed, which surprised even her. Fear and love really were related. At that moment, she clung to the love she had for her friend.
"Come on!"
They ran in no particular direction and found themselves back in the shrine room, right behind the giant Mimas. They each slashed one of his legs and brought him to his knees. The giant howled. More chunks of stone tumbled from the ceiling.
"Weak mortals!"
Mimas struggled to stand.
"No plan of yours can defeat me."
"That's good," Piper said, "because I don't have a plan."
She ran toward the statue of Ares.
"Annabeth, keep our friend occupied."
"Oh, he's occupied."
"Gah!"
Piper stared at the cruel bronze face of the war god. The statue thrummed with a low metallic pulse. The spirits of battle, she thought. They're inside, waiting to be freed. But they weren't hers to unleash, not until she'd proven herself. The chamber shook again. More cracks appeared in the walls. Piper glanced at the stone carvings above the doorways, the scowling twin faces of fear and panic.
"My brothers," Piper said. "Sons of Aphrodite, I give you a sacrifice."
At the feet of Ares, she set her cornucopia. The magic horn had become so attuned to her emotions, it could amplify her anger, love, or grief, and spew forth its bounty accordingly. She hoped that would appeal to the gods of fear. Or maybe they would just appreciate some fresh fruits and vegetables in their diets.
"I'm terrified," she confessed. "I hate doing this, but I accept that it's necessary."
She swung her blade and took off the bronze statue's head.
"No!"
Mimas yelled. Flames roared up from the statue's severed neck. They swirled around Piper, filling the room with a firestorm of emotions. Hatred, bloodlust, and fear, but also love. Because no one could face battle without caring for something. comrades, family, home. Piper held out her arms, and the Makai made her the center of their whirlwind.
"We will answer your call," they whispered in her mind. "Once only, when you need us. Destruction, waste, carnage shall answer. We shall complete your cure."
The flames vanished along with the cornucopia, and the chained statue of Ares crumbled into dust.
"Foolish girl,"
Mimas charged her, Annabeth at his heels.
"The Makai have abandoned you."
"Or maybe they've abandoned you,"
Piper said. Mimas raised his hammer, but he'd forgotten about Annabeth. She jabbed him in the thigh, and the giant staggered forward, off balance. Piper stepped in calmly and stabbed him in the gut. Mimas crashed face first in the nearest doorway. He turned over just as the stone face of panic cracked off the wall above him and toppled down for a one-ton kiss. The giant's cry was cut short. His body went still. Then he disintegrated into a 20-foot pile of ash. Annabeth stared at Piper.
"What just happened?"
"I'm not sure."
"Piper, you were amazing, but those fiery spirits you released."
"The Makai."
"How does that help us find the cure we're looking for?"
"I don't know. They said I could summon them when the time comes. Maybe Artemis and Apollo can explain."
A section of the wall calved like a glacier. Annabeth stumbled and almost slipped on the giant's severed ear.
"We need to get out of here."
"I'm working on it," Piper said. "And, I think this ear is your spoil of war."
"Gross."
"Would make a lovely shield."
"Shut up, Chase."
Piper stared at the second doorway, which still had the face of fear above it.
"Thank you, brothers, for helping to kill the giant. I need one more favor, an escape. And believe me, I am properly terrified. I offer you this, lovely ear as a sacrifice."
The stone face made no answer. Another section of the wall peeled away. A starburst of cracks appeared in the ceiling. Piper grabbed Annabeth's hand.
"We're going through that doorway. If this works, we might find ourselves back on the surface."
"And if it doesn't?"
Piper looked up at the face of fear.
"Let's find out."
The room collapsed around them as they plunged into the dark. Chapter 21. Reyna. At least they didn't end up on another cruise ship. The jump from Portugal had landed them in the middle of the Atlantic, where Reyna spent her whole day on the Lido deck of the Azores Queen, shooing little kids off the Athena Parthenos, which they seemed to think was a water slide. Unfortunately, the next jump brought Reyna home. They appeared 10 feet in the air, hovering over a restaurant courtyard that Reyna recognized. She and Nico dropped onto a large birdcage, which promptly broke, dumping them into a cluster of potted ferns along with 3 very alarmed parrots. Coach Hedge hit the canopy over a bar. The Athena Parthenos landed on her feet with a thump, flattening a patio table and flipping a dark green umbrella, which settled onto the Nike statue in Athena's hand, so the goddess of wisdom looked like she was holding a tropical drink.
"Gah!"
Coach Hedge yelled. The canopy ripped, and he fell behind the bar with a crash of bottles and glasses. He recovered well. He popped up with a dozen miniature plastic swords in his hair, grabbed the soda gun, and served himself a drink.
"I like it."
He tossed a wedge of pineapple into his mouth.
"But next time, kid, can we land on the floor and not 10 feet above it?"
Nico dragged himself out of the ferns. He collapsed in the nearest chair and waved off a blue parrot that was trying to land on his head. After the fight with Lycaon, Nico had discarded his shredded aviator jacket. His black skull-patterned t-shirt wasn't in much better shape. Reyna had stitched up the gashes on his biceps, which gave Nico a slightly creepy Frankenstein look, but the cuts were still swollen and red. Unlike bites, werewolf claw marks wouldn't transmit lycanthropy, but Reyna knew firsthand that they healed slowly and burned like acid.
"I've gotta sleep."
Nico looked up in a daze.
"Are we safe?"
Reyna scanned the courtyard. The place seemed deserted, though she didn't understand why. This time of night, it should have been packed. Above them, the evening sky glowed a murky terracotta, the same color as the building's walls. Ringing the atrium, the second-story balconies were empty, except for potted azaleas hanging from the white metal railings. Behind a wall of glass doors, the restaurant's interior was dark. The only sound was the fountain gurgling forlornly, and the occasional squawk of a disgruntled parrot.
"This is Barachina," Reyna said.
"What kind of bear?"
Hedge opened a jar of maraschino cherries and chugged them down.
"It's a famous restaurant," Reyna said, "in the middle of Old San Juan. They invented the piña colada here, back in the 1960s, I think."
Nico pitched out of his chair, curled up on the floor, and started snoring. Coach Hedge belched.
"Well, it looks like we're staying for a while. If they haven't invented any new drinks since the 60s, they're overdue. I'll get to work."
While Hedge rummaged behind the bar, Reyna whistled for Aram and Argentum. After their fight with the werewolves, the dogs looked a little worse for wear, but Reyna placed them on guard duty. She checked the street entrance to the atrium. The decorative ironwork gates were locked. A sign in Spanish and English announced that the restaurant was closed for a private party. That seemed odd, since the place was deserted. At the bottom of the sign were embossed initials. H.T.K. These bothered Reyna, though she wasn't sure why. She peered through the gates. Calle Fortaleza was unusually quiet. The blue cobblestone pavement was free of traffic and pedestrians. The pastel-colored shop fronts were closed and dark. Was it Sunday, or some sort of holiday? Reyna's unease grew. Behind her, Coach Hedge whistled happily as he set up a row of blenders. The parrots roosted on the shoulders of the Athena Parthenos. Reyna wondered whether the Greeks would be offended if their sacred statue arrived covered in tropical bird poop. Of all the places Reyna could have ended up, San Juan. Maybe it was a coincidence, but she feared not. Puerto Rico wasn't really on the way from Europe to New York. It was much too far south. Besides, Reyna had been lending Nico her strength for days now. Perhaps she'd influenced him subconsciously. He was drawn to painful thoughts, fear, darkness. And Reyna's darkest, most painful memory was San Juan. Her biggest fear? Coming back here. Her dogs picked up on her agitation. They prowled the courtyard, snarling at shadows. Poor Argentum turned in circles, trying to aim his sideways head so he could see out of his one ruby eye. Reyna tried to concentrate on positive memories. She'd missed the sound of the little coqui frogs, singing around the neighborhood like a chorus of popping bottle caps. She'd missed the smell of the ocean, the blossoming magnolias and citrus trees, the fresh-baked bread from the local panaderias. Even the humidity felt comfortable and familiar, like the scented air from a dryer vent. Part of her wanted to open the gates and explore the city. She wanted to visit the Plaza de Armas, where the old men played dominoes and the coffee kiosk sold espresso so strong it made your ears pop. She wanted to stroll down her old street, Calle San Jose, counting and naming the stray cats, making up a story for each one, the way she used to do with her sister. She wanted to break into Barachina's kitchen and cook up some real mofongo with fried plantains and bacon and garlic, a taste that would always remind her of Sunday afternoons, when she and Hilla could briefly escape the house and, if they were lucky, eat here in the kitchen, where the staff knew them and took pity on them. On the other hand, Reyna wanted to leave immediately. She wanted to wake up Nico, no matter how tired he was, and force him to shadow travel out of here. Anywhere but San Juan. Being so close to her old house made Reyna feel ratcheted tight like a catapult winch. She glanced at Nico. Despite the warm night, he shivered on the tile floor. She pulled a blanket out of her pack and covered him up. Reyna no longer felt self-conscious about wanting to protect him. For better or worse, they shared a connection now. Each time they shadow traveled, his exhaustion and torment washed over her, and she understood him a little better. Nico was devastatingly alone. He'd lost his big sister, Bianca. He'd pushed away all other demigods who'd tried to get close to him. His experiences at Camp Half-Blood, in the Labyrinth, and in Tartarus had left him scarred, afraid to trust anyone. Reyna doubted she could change his feelings, but she wanted Nico to have support. All heroes deserved that. It was the whole point of the 12th Legion. You joined forces to fight for a higher cause. You weren't alone. You made friends and earned respect. Even when you mustered out, you had a place in the community. No demigod should have to suffer alone the way Nico did. Tonight was July 25th. 7 more days until August 1st. In theory, that was plenty of time to reach Long Island. Once they completed their mission, if they completed their mission, Reyna would make sure Nico was recognized for his bravery. She slipped off her backpack. She tried to place it under Nico's head as a makeshift pillow, but her fingers passed right through him as if he were a shadow. She recoiled her hand. Cold with dread, she tried again. This time, she was able to lift his neck and slide the pillow under. His skin felt cool, but otherwise normal. Had she been hallucinating? Nico had expended so much energy traveling through shadows, perhaps he was starting to fade permanently. If he kept pushing himself to the limit for 7 more days... The sound of a blender startled her out of her thoughts. "You want a smoothie?" asked the coach. "This one is pineapple, mango, orange, and banana, buried under a mound of shaved coconut. I call it the Hercules."
I'm all right. Thanks.
She glanced up at the balconies ringing the atrium. It still didn't seem right to her that the restaurant was empty. A private party, HTK.
"Coach, I think I'll scout the second floor. I don't like..."
A wisp of movement caught her eye. The balcony on the right, a dark shape. Above that, at the edge of the roof, several more silhouettes appeared against the orange clouds. Reyna drew her sword, but it was too late. A flash of silver, a faint whoosh, and the point of a needle buried itself in her neck. Her vision blurred. Her limbs turned to spaghetti. She collapsed next to Nico. As her eyes dimmed, she saw her dogs running toward her, but they froze in mid-bark and toppled over. At the bar, the coach yelled, "Hey!" Another whoosh. The coach collapsed with a silver dart in his neck. Reyna tried to say, "Nico, wake up!" Her voice wouldn't work. Her body had been deactivated as completely as her metal dogs had. Dark figures lined the rooftop. Half a dozen leaped into the courtyard, silent and graceful. One leaned over Reyna. She could only make out a hazy smudge of gray. A muffled voice said, "Take her." A cloth sack was wrestled over her head. Reyna wondered dimly if this was how she would die, without even a fight. Then it didn't matter. Several pairs of rough hands lifted her, like an unwieldy piece of furniture, and she drifted into unconsciousness. Chapter 22. Reyna. The answer came to her before she was fully conscious. The initials on the sign at Barachina. H.T.K.
Not funny, Reyna muttered to herself. Not remotely funny.
Years ago, Lupa had taught her how to sleep lightly, wake up alert, and be ready to attack. Now, as her senses returned, she took stock of her situation. The cloth sack still covered her head, but it didn't seem to be cinched around her neck. She was tied to a hard chair, wood, by the feel of it. Cords were tight against the ribs. Her hands were bound behind her, but her legs were free at the ankles. Either her captors were sloppy, or they hadn't expected her to wake up so quickly. Reyna wriggled her fingers and toes. Whatever tranquilizer they'd used, the effects had worn off. Somewhere in front of her, footsteps echoed down a corridor. The sound got closer. Reyna let her muscles go slack. She rested her chin against her chest. A lock clicked. A door creaked open. Judging from the acoustics, Reyna was in a small room with brick or concrete walls. Maybe a basement or a cell. One person entered the room. Reyna calculated the distance. No more than 5 feet. She surged upward, spinning so the chair legs smashed against her captor's body. The force broke the chair. Her captor fell with a painful grunt. Shouts from the corridor. More footsteps. Reyna shook the cloth sack off her head. She dropped into a backward roll, pulling her bound hands under her legs so her arms were in front of her. Her captor, a teen girl in gray camouflage, lay dazed on the floor, a knife at her belt. Reyna grabbed the knife and straddled her, pressing the blade against her captor's throat. Three more girls crowded the doorway. Two drew knives. The third knocked an arrow in her bow. For a moment, everyone froze. Her hostage's carotid artery pulsed under the blade. Wisely, the girl made no attempt to move. Reyna ran scenarios on how she could overcome the three in the doorway. All of them wore gray camouflage t-shirts, faded black jeans, black athletic shoes, and utility belts, like they were going camping or hiking. Or hunting.
You're the hunters of Artemis, Reyna realized.
Take it easy, said the girl with the bow.
Her ginger hair was shaved on the sides, long on top. She had the build of a professional wrestler.
You've got the wrong impression.
The girl on the floor exhaled, but Reyna knew that trick, trying to loosen an enemy's hold. Reyna pressed the knife tighter against the girl's throat.
You've got the wrong impression, Reyna said, if you think you can attack me and take me captive. Where are my friends?
Unharmed.
Right where you left them,
the ginger girl promised.
Look, it's 3-1, and your hands are tied.
You're right, Reyna growled. Get another 6 of you in here, and it might be a fair fight. I demand to see your lieutenant, Thalia Grace.
The ginger girl blinked. Her comrades gripped their knives uneasily. On the floor, Reyna's hostage began to shake. Reyna thought she might be having a fit. Then she realized the girl was laughing.
Something funny? Reyna asked.
The girl's voice was a gravelly whisper.
Jason told me you were good. He didn't say how good.
Reyna focused more carefully on her hostage. The girl looked about 16, with choppy black hair and startling blue eyes. Across her forehead glinted a circlet of silver.
You're Thalia? And I'd be happy to explain, Thalia said, if you'd kindly not cut my throat.
The hunters guided her through a maze of corridors. The walls were concrete blocks painted army green, devoid of windows. The only light came from dim fluorescence, spaced every 20 feet. The passages twisted, turned, and doubled back, but the ginger-haired hunter, Phoebe, took the lead. She seemed to know where she was going. Thalia Grace limped along, holding her ribs where Raina had hit her with the chair. The hunter must have been in pain, but her eyes sparkled with amusement.
"Again, my apologies for abducting you."
Thalia didn't sound very sorry.
"This lair is secret. The Amazons have certain protocols."
"The Amazons? You work for them?"
"With them," Thalia corrected. "We have a mutual understanding. Sometimes the Amazons send recruits our way. Sometimes, if we come across girls who don't wish to be maidens forever, we send them to the Amazons. The Amazons do not have such vows."
One of the other hunters snorted in disgust.
"Keeping male slaves in collars and orange jumpsuits. I'd rather keep a pack of dogs any day."
"Their males aren't slaves, Kellen," Thalia chided. "Merely subservient." She glanced at Raina.
"The Amazons and hunters don't see eye to eye on everything, but since Gia began to stir, we have been cooperating closely. With Camp Jupiter and Camp Half-Blood at each other's throats, well, someone has to deal with all the monsters. Our forces are spread across the entire continent."
Raina massaged the rope marks on her wrists.
"I thought you told Jason you knew nothing of Camp Jupiter."
"That was true then, but those days are over, thanks to Hera's scheming." Thalia's expression turned serious.
"How is my brother?" "When I left him in Epirus, he was fine."
Raina told her what she knew. She found Thalia's eyes distracting. Electric blue, intense, and alert. So much like Jason's. Otherwise, the siblings looked nothing alike. Thalia's hair was choppy and dark. Her jeans were tattered, held together with safety pins. She wore metal chains around her neck and wrists, and her gray camo shirt sported a button that read, "Punk is not dead. You are." Raina had always thought of Jason Grace as the all-American boy. Thalia looked more like the girl who robbed all-American boys at knife point in an alley.
"I hope he's still well," Thalia mused. "A few nights ago, I dreamed about our mother. It wasn't pleasant. Then I got Nico's message in my dreams about Orion hunting you. That was even less pleasant." "That's why you're here. You got Nico's message."
"Well, we didn't rush to Puerto Rico for a vacation. This is one of the Amazons' most secure strongholds. We took a gamble that we'd be able to intercept you."
"Intercept us? How? And why?"
In front of them, Phoebe stopped. The corridor dead-ended at a set of metal doors. Phoebe tapped on them with the butt of her knife, a complicated series of knocks, like Morse code. Thalia rubbed her bruised ribs.
"I'll have to leave you here. The hunters are patrolling the old city, keeping a lookout for Orion. I need to get back to the front lines."
She held out her hand expectantly.
"My knife, please?"
Raina handed it back.
"What about my own weapons?"
"They'll be returned when you leave. I know it seems silly, the kidnapping and blindfolding and whatnot, but the Amazons take their security seriously. Last month, they had an incident at their main center in Seattle. Maybe you heard about it? A girl named Hazel Levesque stole a horse." The hunter Kellen grinned.
"Naomi and I saw the security footage. Legendary."
"Epic,"
agreed the third hunter.
"At any rate," Thalia said, "we're keeping an eye on Nico and the satyr. Unauthorized males aren't allowed anywhere near this place, but we left them a note so they wouldn't worry."
From her belt, Thalia unfolded a piece of paper. She handed it to Raina. It was a photocopy of a handwritten note. "I owe you one Roman praetor. She will be returned safely. Sit tight." Otherwise, you'll be killed. XOX, the Hunters of Artemis. Reyna handed back the letter.
Right. That won't worry them at all.
Phoebe grinned.
It's cool. I covered your Athena Parthenos with this new camouflage netting I designed. It should keep monsters, or even Orion, from finding it. Besides, if my guess is right, Orion isn't tracking the statue as much as he's tracking you.
Reyna felt like she'd been punched between the eyes.
How could you know that?
Phoebe is my best tracker, Thalia said, and my best healer. And, well, she's generally right about most things.
Most things? Phoebe protested.
Thalia raised her hands in an I give up gesture.
As for why we intercepted you, I'll let the Amazons explain.
Phoebe, Kellen, Naomi,
accompany Reyna inside. I have to see to our defenses.
You're expecting a fight, Reyna noted, but you said this place was secret and secure.
Thalia sheathed her knife.
You don't know Orion. I wish we had more time, Preeter. I'd like to hear about your camp and how you ended up there. You remind me so much of your sister, and yet...
You know Hilla?
Reyna asked. Is she safe?
Thalia tilted her head.
None of us are safe these days, Preeter, so I really must go. Good hunting.
Thalia disappeared down the corridor. The metal doors creaked open. The three hunters led Reyna through. After the claustrophobic tunnels, the size of the warehouse took Reyna's breath away. An aerie of giant eagles could have done maneuvers under the vast ceiling. Three-story-tall rows of shelves stretched into the distance. Robotic forklifts zipped through the aisles, retrieving boxes. Half a dozen young women in black pantsuits stood nearby, comparing notes on their tablet computers. In front of them were crates labeled Explosive Arrows and Greek Fire, 16-ounce easy-open pack, and Griffin Fillets, free-range organic. Directly in front of Reyna, behind a conference table piled high with reports and bladed weapons, sat a familiar figure.
Baby sister!
Hilla rose.
Here we are, home again, facing certain death again. We have to stop meeting like this.
Chapter 23. Reyna. Reyna's feelings weren't so much mixed. They were thrown into a blender with gravel and ice. Every time she saw her sister, she didn't know whether to hug her, cry, or walk away. Of course, she loved Hilla. Reyna would have been dead many times over if not for her sister. But their past together was beyond complicated. Hilla walked around the table. She looked good in her black leather pants and black tank top. Around her waist glittered a cord of gold labyrinthine links, the belt of the Amazon Queen. She was 22 now, but she could have been mistaken for Reyna's twin. They had the same long, dark hair, the same brown eyes. They even wore the same silver ring with the torch and spear emblem of their mother, Bellona. The most obvious difference between them was the long white scar on Hilla's forehead. It had faded over the last 4 years. Anyone who didn't know better might have mistaken it for a worry line. But Reyna remembered the day Hilla got that scar, in a duel aboard the pirate ship.
Well? Hilla prompted. No warm words for your sister?
Thank you for having me abducted, Reyna said. For shooting me with a tranquilizer dart, putting a bag over my head, and tying me to a chair.
Hilla rolled her eyes.
Rules are rules. As a Preeter, you should understand that. This distribution center is one of our most important bases. We have to control access. I can't make exceptions, especially not for my family.
I think you just enjoyed it.
That too.
Reyna wondered if her sister was as cool and collected as she seemed. She found it amazing and a little scary how quickly Hilla had adapted to her new identity. 6 years ago, she'd been a scared big sister, doing her best to shield Reyna from their father's rage. Her main skills had been running and finding them places to hide. Then, on Cersei's island, Hilla had worked hard to be noticed. She wore flashy clothes and makeup. She smiled and laughed and always stayed perky, as if acting happy would make her happy. She'd become one of Cersei's favorite attendants. After their island sanctuary burned, they were taken prisoner aboard the pirates' ship. Again, Hilla changed. She dueled for their freedom, out-pirated the pirates, gained the crew's respect so well that Blackbeard finally put them ashore, lest Hilla take over his ship. Now she'd reinvented herself again as Queen of the Amazons. Of course, Reyna understood why her sister was such a chameleon. If she kept changing, she could never fossilize into the thing their father had become.
"Those initials on the reservation sign at Barachina," Reyna said. "HTK. Hilla twice kill. Your new nickname. A little joke?
Just checking to see if you were paying attention."
"You knew we would land in that courtyard. How?"
Hilla shrugged.
"Shadow travel is magic. Several of my followers are daughters of Hecate. It was a simple enough matter for them to pull you off course, especially since you and I share a connection."
Reyna tried to keep her anger in check. Hilla, of all people, should know how she would feel about being dragged back to Puerto Rico.
"You went to a lot of trouble," Reyna noted. "The Queen of the Amazons and the Lieutenant of Artemis both rushing to Puerto Rico on a moment's notice to intercept us. I'm guessing that's not because you missed me."
Phoebe, the ginger-haired hunter, chuckled.
"She's smart."
"Of course," Hilla said. "I taught her everything she knows." Other Amazons started to gather around, probably sensing a potential fight. Amazons loved violent entertainment almost as much as pirates did.
"Orion," Reyna guessed. "That's what brought you here. His name got your attention."
"I couldn't let him kill you," Hilla said.
"It's more than that.
Your mission to escort the Athena Parthenos is important, but it's more than that, too. This is personal for you and for the hunters. What's your game?" Hilla ran her thumbs along her golden belt.
"Orion is a problem. Unlike the other giants, Orion has been walking the earth for centuries. He takes special interest in killing Amazons or hunters or any female who dares to be strong."
"Why would he want that?" A ripple of dread seemed to pass through the girls around her. Hilla looked at Phoebe.
"Do you want to explain? You were there."
The hunter's smile faded.
"In the ancient times, Orion joined the hunters. He was Lady Artemis's best friend. He had no rivals at the bow, except for the goddess herself, and perhaps her brother, Apollo."
Reyna shivered. Phoebe looked no more than 14. To think she knew Orion 3,000 or 4,000 years ago.
"What went wrong?" she asked.
Phoebe's ears reddened.
"Orion crossed the line. He fell in love with Artemis."
Hilla sniffed.
"Always happens with men. They promise friendship. They promise to treat you as an equal. In the end, all they want is to possess you."
Phoebe picked at her thumbnail. Behind her, the other two hunters, Naomi and Kellen, shifted uneasily.
"Lady Artemis rebuffed him, of course," Phoebe said. "Orion became bitter. He started going on longer and longer trips by himself in the wilderness. Finally, I'm not sure what happened. One day, Artemis came back to camp and told us Orion had been killed. She refused to speak of it."
Hilla frowned, which accentuated the white scar across her brow.
"Whatever the case, when Orion rose again from Tartarus, he was Artemis's bitterest enemy. No one can hate you with more intensity than someone who used to love you."
Reyna understood that. She thought back to a conversation she'd had with the goddess Aphrodite 2 years ago in Charleston.
"If he's such a problem," Reyna said, "why doesn't Artemis simply slay him again?"
Phoebe grimaced.
"Easier said than done. Orion is sneaky. Whenever Artemis is with us, he stays far away. Whenever we hunters are on our own, like we are now, he strikes without warning and disappears again. Our last lieutenant, Zoe Nightshade, spent centuries trying to track him down and kill him."
"The Amazons have also tried," Hilla said. "Orion doesn't distinguish between us and the hunters. I think we all remind him too much of Artemis. He sabotages our warehouses, disrupts our distribution centers, kills our warriors. In other words," Reyna said dryly, "he's getting in the way of your plans for world domination."
Hilla shrugged.
"Exactly. That's why you rushed here to intercept me," Reyna said. "You knew Orion would be right behind me. You're setting up an ambush. I'm the bait."
The other girls all found somewhere else to look besides Reyna's face.
"Oh, please," Reyna chided. "Don't develop a guilty conscience now. It's a good plan. How do we proceed?"
Hilla gave her comrades a lopsided smile.
"I told you my sister was tough. Phoebe, you want to explain the details?"
The hunter shouldered her bow.
"Like I said, I believe Orion is tracking you, not the Athena Parthenos. He seems especially good at sensing the presence of female demigods. I guess you'd say we're his natural prey."
"Charming," Reyna said. "So my friends, Nico and Gleason Hedge, are they safe?"
"I still don't see why you travel with males," Phoebe grumbled. "But my guess is that they are safer without you around. I did my best to camouflage your statue. With luck, Orion will follow you here, straight into our line of defenses."
"And then?" Reyna asked.
Hilla gave her the sort of cold smile that used to make Blackbeard's pirates nervous.
"Thalia and most of her hunters are scouting the perimeter of Viejo San Juan. As soon as Orion gets close, we'll know. We've set traps at every approach. I have my best fighters on alert. We'll snare the giant. Then, one way or another, we'll send him back to Tartarus."
"Can he be killed?" Reyna asked.
"I thought most giants could only be destroyed by a god and demigod working together."
"We intend to find out," Hilla said. "Once Orion is taken down, your quest will be much easier. We'll send you on your way with our blessings."
"We could use more than your blessings," Reyna said. "Amazons ship things all around the world. Why not provide safe transport for the Athena Parthenos? Get us to Camp Half-Blood before August 1st.
"I can't," Hilla said.
"If I could, sister, I would. But surely you felt the anger radiating from the statue. We Amazons are honorary daughters of Ares. The Athena Parthenos would never tolerate our interference. Besides, you know how the fates operate. For your quest to succeed, you have to deliver the statue personally."
Reyna must have looked crestfallen. Phoebe shoulder-bumped her like an over-friendly cat.
"Hey, not so glum. We'll help you as much as we can. The Amazon Service Department has repaired those metal dogs of yours. And we have some cool parting gifts."
Kellen handed Phoebe a leather satchel. Phoebe rummaged inside.
"Let's see. Healing potions, tranquilizer darts like the ones we used on you. What else? Oh, yeah!"
Phoebe triumphantly produced a rectangle of folded silvery cloth.
"A handkerchief?" Reyna asked.
"Better. Back up a little."
Phoebe tossed the cloth on the floor. Instantly, it expanded into a 10x10 camping tent.
"It's air-conditioned," Phoebe said. "Sleeps 4. It has a buffet table and sleeping bags inside. Whatever extra gear you put in it will collapse with the tent. Within reason. Don't try to stick your giant statue in there.
Kellen snickered.
If your male traveling companions get annoying, you could always leave them inside.
Naomi frowned.
That wouldn't work, would it? Anyway, Phoebe said, these tents are great. I have one just like it. Use it all the time. When you're ready to close it up, the command word is Action.
The tent collapsed into a tiny rectangle. Phoebe picked it up, stuffed it into the satchel, and handed the bag to Reyna.
I don't know what to say, Reyna stammered. Thank you.
Aw, Phoebe shrugged.
It's the least I can do for...
50 feet away, a side door banged open. An Amazon ran straight toward Hilla. The newcomer wore a black pantsuit, her long auburn hair pulled back in a ponytail. Reyna recognized her from the battle at Camp Jupiter.
Kinsey, isn't it?
The girl gave her a distracted nod.
Preeter?
She whispered something in Hilla's ear. Hilla's expression hardened.
I see.
She glanced at Reyna.
Something is wrong. We've lost contact with the outer defenses. I'm afraid Orion...
Behind Reyna, the metal doors exploded. Chapter 24. Reyna. Reyna reached for her sword, then realized she didn't have one.
Get out of here!
Phoebe readied her bow. Kellen and Naomi ran to the smoking doorway, only to be cut down by black arrows. Phoebe screamed in rage. She returned fire as Amazons rushed forward with shields and swords.
Reyna!
Hilla pulled her arm.
We must leave! We can't just... My guards will buy you time,
Hilla shouted.
Your quest must succeed.
Reyna hated it, but she ran after Hilla. They reached the side door and Reyna glanced back. Dozens of wolves, gray wolves like the ones in Portugal, surged into the warehouse. Amazons hurried to intercept them. The smoke-filled doorway was piled with bodies of the fallen. Kellen, Naomi, Phoebe. The ginger-haired hunter who'd lived for thousands of years now sprawled, unmoving. Her eyes wide with shock, an oversized black and red arrow buried in her gut. The Amazon Kinsey charged forward, long knives flashing. She leaped over the bodies and into the smoke. Hilla pulled Reyna into the passageway. Together, they ran.
They'll all die, Reyna yelled. There must be something. Don't be stupid, sister.
Hilla's eyes were bright with tears.
Orion outfoxed us. He's turned the ambush into a massacre. All we can do now is hold him back while you escape. You must get that statue to the Greeks and defeat Gia.
She led Reyna up a flight of stairs. They navigated a maze of corridors, then rounded a corner into a locker room. They found themselves face to face with a large gray wolf, but before the beast could even snarl, Hilla punched it between the eyes. The wolf crumpled.
Over here.
Hilla ran to the nearest row of lockers.
Your weapons are inside. Hurry.
Reyna grabbed her knife, her sword, and her pack. Then she followed her sister up a circular metal stairwell. The top dead-ended at the ceiling. Hilla turned and gave her a stern look.
I won't have time to explain this, all right? Stay strong. Stay close.
Reyna wondered what could be worse than the scene they'd just left. Hilla pushed open the trap door and they climbed through, into their old home. The great room was just as Reyna remembered. Opaque skylights glowed on the 20-foot ceilings. The stark white walls were devoid of decoration. The furniture was oak, steel, and white leather, impersonal and masculine. Both sides of the room were overhung with terraces, which had always made Reyna feel like she was being watched, because often she was. Their father had done everything he could to make the centuries-old hacienda feel like a modern home. He'd added the skylights, painted everything white to make it brighter and airier, but he'd only succeeded in making the place look like a well-groomed corpse in a new suit. The trapdoor had opened into the massive fireplace. Why they even had a fireplace in Puerto Rico, Reyna had never understood. But she and Hilla used to pretend the hearth was a secret hideout where their father couldn't find them. They used to imagine they could step inside and go to other places. Now, Hilla had made that true. She had linked her underground lair to their childhood home.
Hilla! I told you we don't have time! But I own the building now. I put the deed in my name.
You did what?
I was tired of running from the past, Reyna. I decided to reclaim it.
Reyna stared at her, dumbfounded. You could reclaim a lost phone or a bag at the airport. You could even reclaim a hazardous waste dump. But this house? And what had happened here? There was no reclaiming that.
Sister, Hilla said, we're wasting time. Are you coming or not?
Reyna eyed the balconies, half expecting luminous shapes to flicker at the railing.
Have you seen them?
Some of them.
Papa?
Of course not,
Hilla snapped.
You know he's gone for good.
I don't know anything of the sort.
How could you come back? Why?
To understand,
Hilla shouted.
Don't you want to know how it happened to him?
No. You can't learn anything from ghosts, Hilla. You of all people should realize...
I'm leaving,
Hilla said.
Your friends are a few blocks away. Are you coming with me, or should I tell them you died because you got lost in the past?
I'm not the one who took possession of this place.
Hilla turned on her heel and marched out the front door. Reyna looked around one more time. She remembered her last day here when she was 10 years old. She could almost hear her father's angry roar echoing through the great room, the chorus of wailing ghosts on the balconies. She ran for the exit. She burst into warm afternoon sunlight and found that the street hadn't changed. The crumbling pastel houses, the blue cobblestones, dozens of cats sleeping under cars or in the shade of banana trees. Reyna might have felt nostalgic, except that her sister stood a few feet away, facing Orion.
Well now, the giant smiled. Both daughters of Bellona together. Excellent.
Reyna felt personally offended. She had worked up an image of Orion as a towering, ugly demon, even worse than Polybetes, the giant who had attacked Camp Jupiter. Instead, Orion could have passed for human. A tall, muscular, handsome human. His skin was the color of wheat toast. His dark hair was undercut, swept into spikes on top. With his black leather breeches and jerkin, his hunting knife, and his bow and quiver, he might have been Robin Hood's evil, better-looking brother. Only his eyes ruined the image. At first glance, he appeared to be wearing military night-vision goggles. Then Reyna realized they weren't goggles. They were the work of Hephaestus, bronze mechanical eyes embedded in the giant's sockets. Focusing rings spun and clicked as he regarded Reyna. Targeting lasers flashed green to red. Reyna got the uncomfortable impression he was seeing more than her form, her heat signature, her heart rate, her level of fear. At his side, he held a black composite bow, almost as fancy as his eyes. Multiple strings ran through a series of pulleys that looked like miniature steam train wheels. The grip was polished bronze, studded with dials and buttons. He had no arrow knocked. He made no threatening moves. He smiled so dazzlingly, it was hard to remember he was an enemy. Someone who'd killed at least half a dozen hunters and Amazons to get here. Hilla drew her knives.
Reyna, go! I will deal with this monster.
Orion chuckled.
Hilla, twice kill. You have courage. So did your lieutenants. They are dead.
Hilla took a step forward. Reyna grabbed her arm.
Orion, she said.
You have enough Amazon blood on your hands. Perhaps it's time you try a Roman.
The giant's eyes clicked and dilated. Red laser dots floated across Reyna's breastplate.
Ah, the young praetor. I admit, I've been curious. Before I slay you, perhaps you'll enlighten me. Why would a child of Rome go to such lengths to help the Greeks? You have forfeited your rank, abandoned your legion, made yourself an outlaw. And for what? Jason Grace scorned you. Percy Jackson refused you. Haven't you been... what's the word? Dumped enough?
Reyna's ears buzzed. She recalled Aphrodite's warning 2 years ago in Charleston.
You will not find love where you wish or where you hope. No demigod shall heal your heart.
She forced herself to meet the giant's gaze.
I don't define myself by the boys who may or may not like me.
Brave words.
The giant's smile was infuriating.
But you are no different from the Amazons, or the hunters, or Artemis herself. You speak of strength and independence. As soon as you face a man of true prowess, your confidence crumbles. You feel threatened by my dominance, and how it attracts you. So you run, or you surrender, or you die.
Hilla shrugged off Reyna's hand.
I will kill you, giant! I will chop you into pieces so small!
Hilla, Reyna interrupted. Whatever else happened here, she could not watch her sister die. Reyna had to keep the giant focused on her.
Orion, you claim to be strong, yet you couldn't keep the vows of the hunt. You died rejected, and now you're running errands for your mother. So tell me again, how exactly are you threatening?
Orion's jaw muscles clenched. His smile became thinner and colder.
A good try, he admitted. You're hoping to unbalance me. You think perhaps if you keep me talking, reinforcements will save you. Alas, praetor, there are no reinforcements. I burned your sister's underground lair with her own Greek fire. No one survived.
Hilla roared and attacked. Orion hit her with the butt of his bow. She flew backward into the street. Orion pulled an arrow from his quiver.
Stop!
Reyna yelled. Her heart hammered in her ribcage. She needed to find the giant's weakness. Burachina was only a few blocks away. If they could make it that far, Nico might be able to shadow travel them away. And the hunters couldn't all be dead. They'd been patrolling the entire perimeter of the old city. Surely some of them were still out there.
Orion, you asked what motivates me.
She kept her voice level.
Don't you want your answer before you kill us? Surely it must puzzle you why women keep rejecting a big, handsome guy like you.
The giant knocked his arrow.
Now you have mistaken me for Narcissus. I cannot be flattered.
Of course not, Reyna said.
Hilla rose with a murderous look on her face, but Reyna reached out with her senses, trying to share with her sister the most difficult kind of strength. Restraint.
Still, it must infuriate you. First you were dumped by a mortal princess.
Merope, Orion sneered. A beautiful girl, but stupid. If she'd had any sense, she would have understood I was flirting with her.
Let me guess, Reyna said. She screamed and called for the guards instead.
I was without my weapons at the time. You don't bring your bow and knives when you're courting a princess.
The guards took me easily. Her father, the king, had me blinded and exiled. Just above Reyna's head, a pebble skittered across a clay-tiled roof. It might have been her imagination, but she remembered that sound from the many nights Hilla would sneak out of her own locked room and creep across the roof to check on her. It took all of Reyna's willpower not to glance up.
But you got new eyes, she said to the giant. Hephaestus took pity on you.
Yes.
Orion's gaze became unfocused. Reyna could tell because the laser targets disappeared from her chest.
I ended up on Delos, where I met Artemis. Do you know how strange it is to meet your mortal enemy and end up being attracted to her? He laughed. Preeter, what am I saying? Of course you know. Perhaps you feel